Hello and welcome. This is Mark Leach talking to you about Down syndrome and prenatal testing. This is episode one. What does your prenatal test result for Down syndrome mean? You may have found this podcast via my website, DownSyndromePrenatalTesting.com. I'm also on Twitter at Mark W. Leach. And you can find me on Facebook if so inclined. So again, the website is DownSyndromePrenatalTesting.com, and I'm on Twitter at Mark W. Leach. What we're going to talk about in this first episode is what is the most common question that I receive on this blog. This blog has been around since November of 2012. There are hundreds of articles on there at this point. But weekly, the question that is posed in the comments to any number of those posts are, I just got my prenatal test result back from my doctor or from my lab or from my genetic counselor, and I don't know what they mean. Or more specifically, they will say, I just got my prenatal test result back from my doctor and it says X. What does this mean? And usually what the quote-unquote X is that it says either positive for Down syndrome or for another genetic condition, or 99% chance of Down syndrome, or 99% accuracy, I should say. And understandably, the mom or the parents, and sometimes just the dad, will be asking, what does this mean? Well, I have a blog post that is titled specifically concerning a specific type of prenatal test called What Does Your Cell-Free DNA Screen Result for Down Syndrome Mean? And I would direct you to that on my blog. You can search for it. And again, the title is What Does Your Cell-Free DNA Screen Result for Down Syndrome Mean? The reason why it specifies that type of prenatal test is that is increasingly becoming the more common prenatal screen that patients have when they are going through prenatal care. Cell-free DNA is also known by a variety of other names, such as NIPT, NIPS, non-invasive prenatal testing, or by the brand names of the multitude now of offerings of this type of screen, such as Maternity 21, Verify, Harmony, Panorama, InformaSeq, Progenity, and they grow with each passing year. I specifically refer to them as cell-free DNA screen because that's exactly what it is. It's screening for what is known as cell-free DNA that is floating around in the mother's bloodstream, and the cell-free DNA derives from the pregnancy, from the cells that form the placenta, which are also cells that then form the fetus. But because it is not necessarily from the fetus, that is why they remain a screen result. There are a number of other prenatal screening tests that women undergo, such as the nuchal translucency combined, which is the measurement of the back of the thickness of the fetus's neck, combined with a sample of the mother's blood that is then run through an algorithm to recalculate the chances for having Down syndrome or a variety of other conditions. There's the quad test, which is administered in the second trimester. There are combinations of those two, such as stepwise sequential, contingent sequential, integrated, all of which are combinations of having the first trimester screen, which is the nuchal translucency combined, and then depending on that's results or the protocol that the patient and doctor are using, then adding in the quad screen in the second trimester. Whatever the screen result is, a screening test is called a screen because it is not a diagnostic test. The most common diagnostic tests for conditions like Down syndrome are amniocentesis, which is performed after week 15 and in the second trimester, or chorionic villus sampling, also referred to as CVS, which is performed in the first trimester. The National Society for Genetic Counselors does note that because the CVS test also tests DNA from cells from the placenta, albeit cells that may develop into the fetus, it can have the same challenges of being accurate as cell-free DNA. And therefore, what is used in the industry and in the literature in reference to amniocentesis remains so, that it is the quote-unquote gold standard for diagnostic testing, because it is testing actual fetal cells that are floating in the amniotic fluid, and therefore you can be assured that you're testing the actual DNA of the fetus that's developing. Although, because this is a human endeavor, there are occasionally some mistakes made as far as testing cells that are not from the fetus, and that is why even diagnostic tests have a very slim, very rare chance of being a false positive or false negative. That's just the nature of human endeavor in this world. However, the ratio or the chances of having a false negative or false positive from an amniocentesis are so slim that that is why they consider them diagnostic testing. So let's get back to the testing, though, that I received most of my comments about, which are screen results, and more specifically, cell-free DNA screen results, like those from Maternity 21 or Harmony or Verify. These are tests that have been marketed since their entry into the market, in all of them coming online mainly in 2012. Sequenom was first entered the market in October 2011 with Maternity 21. Highlighting their claimed accuracy of 99%. And the marketing has gone on to further bolster the accuracy by, in the case of Sequenom, saying that they give you clear results, a positive or a negative. However, they're screen results, and screen results are just a recalculation of a mother's chances for having a child that's affected by a genetic condition. Usually, Down syndrome is the shorthand term, because it is the most commonly tested for and the most commonly reported genetic conditions, at least as far as I'm aware of, in prenatal testing. So every woman has a baseline chance for having a child with Down syndrome. That chance increases with the mother's age. And so what the screening technology was developed was to get a more accurate assessment of what the chances are that a pregnancy may be affected by Down syndrome. It, as I described with the nuchal translucency and combined, or the quad test, those are less precise in the sense that they have higher false positives and false negatives than cell-free DNA screening for the limited conditions that cell-free DNA screening tests for, those being namely Down syndrome, trisomy 18, trisomy 13, and then the sex of the baby, male or female. So for those limited conditions, cell-free DNA screening is recognized by the professional organizations as being the most accurate screening test. However, because most women, the vast majority of women, are not going to be having a child with Down syndrome, and even more specifically, women that are considered quote-unquote low risk, which is typically means women that are under the age of 35 or women that do not have a prior history of a pregnancy affected by a genetic condition, or women that do not have a family history of a genetic condition, or women that do not have some other screen or indication of a higher risk. For those quote-unquote low-risk pregnancies, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists still only recognizes cell-free DNA screening as being available to them, but not recommended for them, because general conventional screening, such as nuchal translucency combined or quad, can pick up more conditions that are more likely to, or have at least as likely a chance as the limited conditions that cell-free DNA screening tests for in those low-risk populations. All right, so whether you're high risk or whether you're low risk, you went into your prenatal care visit, usually early on in the pregnancy. Professional guidelines recommend that all women be offered some form of prenatal screening for genetic conditions. You may have opted to have cell-free DNA screen result. You may have seen a brochure that said, you know, clear, concise, correct, or whatever the tagline may be for the laboratory materials that may have been in your doctor's office in which you were perusing to guide your decision. You get the test result back, and it says positive for Down syndrome, or it says high risk for Down syndrome, or it says indicated for Down syndrome, or another genetic condition. What does this mean then? Well, first and foremost, it does not mean that your pregnancy is definitively positive for Down syndrome or whatever the tested condition that is reported may be. Secondly, it does not mean that you have a 99% chance of having a child with Down syndrome or whatever the tested for condition that's reported may be. Instead, what that 99% means is that if there were 100 women that were actually carrying a child with Down syndrome, their pregnancies were truly positive for Down syndrome, that test would identify 99 of those pregnancies. That's why it's 99% accurate. However, if you scroll back in the podcast a couple of minutes ago, you heard me talk of how the chance, the baseline chance for having a child affected by a genetic condition rises with the age of the mother for genetic conditions such as trisomies like Down syndrome and trisomy 18. So let's say that you are a young mother in her 20s. You have a relatively low chance of having a child with a genetic condition. And therefore, while the screening test of Maternity 21 or Verify or Harmony, whatever the cell-free DNA screen may be that you chose or had administered, may say that they have a 99% quote-unquote accuracy, it doesn't necessarily mean that it certainly doesn't mean that you're 99% chance that you're going to have a child with Down syndrome. In fact, for women under the age of 30, without any other indicators of a genetic condition, if they've only just gotten a cell-free DNA screen result, the odds remain, more likely than not, that you are not having a child with Down syndrome, even if you get a test report back saying, quote-unquote, positive or high risk for Down syndrome. There's a very useful tool that has come out, and it's been out since, I believe, 2016, offered by an organization called perinatalquality.org. This is where you should go to find out what your actual odds are based on your cell-free DNA screen result. If you go to perinatalquality.org, that's P-E-R-I-N-A-T-A-L, quality.org, perinatal quality, all one word, and then you can scroll down on the homepage and check on the PPV calculator. I think it says PPV/NPV calculator or NIPT cell-free DNA screening predictive value calculator. It's about the second item, I believe, on their homepage. You click on that, you'll click terms and conditions, accept the terms and conditions, saying that you're not going to hold them liable for whatever information is relayed by their website. And on the tab PPV calculator, you click on the PPV calculator, and there's a drop-down menu for chromosome condition. And let's say that you tested your screen result came back for Down syndrome, also known as trisomy 21. And you click on trisomy 21. And then let's say that you're a mother who is 32, which is getting closer to the average age of mothers in the United States and already is the average age in other Western European countries. They'll have a stated sensitivity and specificity. If your lab report has those numbers, you can enter those into those windows. I usually just use the default setting that's in the online calculator, and then you press calculate. Okay, so in those preset default settings, both specificity and sensitivity, which I'll go over, those are addressed elsewhere on my blog, were over 99%. That's where the 99% accuracy comes from. But when you take the mother's age of 32 and take the condition such as Down syndrome, and then you press calculate, what is known as the positive predictive value, meaning what are the actual chances that your pregnancy is positive for Down syndrome based on your cell-free DNA screen result? For a mother of 32, it means that she has a 68% chance that that screen result is positive, truly positive, and a 32% chance that it is a false positive. So you have essentially a two-thirds chance that your pregnancy is truly positive for Down syndrome, and a one-third chance, or a one in three chances, that your test result is a false positive and your pregnancy is not affected by Down syndrome. I just picked 32 because that's becoming the average age, maternal age for birth. But you can plug in whatever your age is to then find out what your PPV number is. And that acronym, PPV, is what is important for knowing your actual chances for having a child with Down syndrome based on your screen result. So I hope that that is helpful by going to the perinatalquality.org website and using the calculator there. It's become a bit of a habit of mine now that when I get comments, like I said, weekly, asking what the test result means, I do the calculations for them, but then I always link to the calculator and say, you can go calculate these for yourself so you can see it for yourself. That link is also in the post, what does your cell-free DNA screen result for Down syndrome mean? That's on my website. And now I'd like to turn to what else your test result means, because while the focus for the commenters, based on what they relay and how they relay it when they ask, what do my test results mean, their focus is on specifically what are my chances actually for having a child with the tested for condition that the lab report came back as positive for or high risk for. That's the rest of the information that I hope that patients and parents, future parents, or existing parents, and this is a later pregnancy, will also do the research to find out what their test result means. Because you've been given a test result that says that you're at an increased chance for having a child with a specific genetic condition. I'll again use Down syndrome since it's the more common one. So you find out what your PPV is, but then the rest of the information is, okay, what does Down syndrome mean? If you were like me before, for those of you who are familiar with my blog, you know that I happen to have a daughter that has Down syndrome. I also have a son that has curly blonde hair. So my daughter Juliet joined us in 2004. Prior to Juliet joining us, my experience and knowledge of Down syndrome was extremely limited. There was a young man who attended our church growing up. He had been institutionalized. He was very low functioning. He was nonverbal. He had elderly parents that would sort of lead him around. That was my image of Down syndrome. That, and aside from usually what is the feel-good stories where they include a character with Down syndrome on a made-for-TV movie or a after-school special, I grew up in the 80s, so that's the era that I'm referring to. I also went to high school here in my hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, where there was a segregated wing for children, for students with learning disabilities or specific diagnoses such as Down syndrome. So they were segregated off from us, and that lent itself to seeming stigmatized if you had that condition. So that was the overlay that I had growing up with my understanding of Down syndrome. Everybody's exposure is different and experience is different with the advent of inclusive education, where children are included in the classroom, regardless of their diagnoses or capabilities. More and more Americans and elsewhere in countries that practice inclusive education, more and more students and individuals are growing up knowing more about an individual with a condition like Down syndrome because they sat next to them in class, or they were in their girl or boy scout troop, or they too attended their church, but in that sense they were included in their Sunday school. A variety of more options than the time that I grew up in for getting to know a person with an intellectual disability. Nevertheless, for most people still, it is unlikely that you have a relationship with a person with Down syndrome. Sure, you may have had what my experience is, but I would hardly call that a relationship with that young man that attended my church, or it certainly wasn't a relationship for the students that were segregated in the wing in the back of my high school. You know, you may have seen somebody working in the community. You may know of somebody who had a sister, cousin, brother, nephew that happened to have Down syndrome. But for the most part, most of us don't have a relationship with a person with Down syndrome. And now you have a printed piece of paper or something on your smartphone or the your physician's computer screen that says you're at an increased risk for Down syndrome. It's shocking. It always is getting the diagnosis. When we received our diagnosis that our daughter had Down syndrome, it was shocking because you're not expecting it. Most of us are going through prenatal testing. Most of those who have had prenatal testing go through it for reassurance to say that, no, my child is not affected by any of these conditions that this can be that can be tested for. So you're finding out what your adjusted chances are by going to the perinatalquality.org PPV calculator. There's another link that can help you in understanding what Down syndrome is, and that's exactly what the website is titled. It's called understandingdownsyndrome.org. I'll say it again, understandingdownsyndrome.org. This website is the online version of a booklet that was put together with the input from every significant stakeholder in this area of prenatal testing for Down syndrome. Representatives from the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, American College for Medical Genetics, National Society for Genetic Counselors, as well as individuals and representatives from the National Down Syndrome Advocacy Organizations, and in the most current version, individuals involved with the Association for University Centers for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities, and the American Academy of Pediatrics all had input into this booklet, in which they all came together and they all agreed that this is the basic information, the fundamental information that a parent or an expectant parent receiving a shocking, surprising diagnosis about what Down syndrome is should be told. You can click the View Online button, and then again it has a terms and conditions. You'll see that it has multiple translations of various languages. Click the one of your that you are most familiar with. And then you can see that it's got about, I'm looking at it now, 26 screens to go through. Half of them being photographs of individuals with Down syndrome in representative settings caught in the action of living their daily lives. And on these pages will be the basic information to understand what Down syndrome is, what available healthcare services there are, what research shows about the role and impact on families, the available educational services for individuals with Down syndrome and their families, a listing of Down syndrome resources from national to local Down syndrome support organizations, as well as research and booklets and books to help parents. It covers reproductive options, and one of those options being adoption, which is one that most people are surprised to learn that there is an organization that maintains a registry for parents that are seeking to adopt a child with Down syndrome. And then other helpful links, as well as a listing of input from those that were involved in the review of this. Full disclosure, this is a booklet that is associated with the University of Kentucky's University Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities, a center in which I serve as a bioethics specialist. I work hand-in-hand with the author of this booklet by presenting at medical conferences and distributing this booklet to medical professionals and those that are interested in it. That said, this is the only booklet that is recognized and included in every one of those organizations that I listed above of the medical organizations in their most current guidelines on cell-free DNA screening as a resource for parents that are receiving a test result. And so it's not, the perinatalquality.org is a great website to understand what your chances are based on the test result that your laboratory or doctor reported to you. Understandingdownsyndrome.org is a great website and resource for you to understand what that information means as far as what Down syndrome is and what support and help are available for those families that choose to parent a child with Down syndrome. I hope that this has been helpful to you. I will also add this other caution. I am not a medical professional. My training is as a lawyer, and I have a master's degree in bioethics, hence my bioethics specialist role at the University of Kentucky Center that I mentioned earlier. I've been involved in this work since 2008. I've published and presented at numerous medical conferences, Down syndrome support conferences, and other caregiver conferences for professionals that are caring for pregnant and expectant couples. So if you have questions, feel free to leave comments at my blog or direct message me on Twitter. If you find me on Facebook, you can message me there. But I would also encourage you to seek out and talk to a medical professional who is knowledgeable in this area, that understands that cell-free DNA testing is not 99% positive, is someone that provides balanced, accurate, up-to-date information about the tested for condition that your test report came back with. And I encourage you to also seek out the support organizations for those various tested conditions for whichever one applies to you and your family. I hope to hear from you either through comments or through Twitter, and I look forward to joining you again in this conversation about this critical issue as this technology progresses and I continue to live my life with my daughter with Down syndrome and share some of the experiences that she has for your benefit. Thank you.